We've made it to hour number four of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. We look forward to being joined by Steve Hamer a little bit later this hour, and we will have more comments from the Big Orange Connect the other night. But right now, it's your opportunity to showcase your mad trivia skills. A golden attaboy hangs in the balance. It's up for grabs as we bring you the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what is tonight's trivia question?
John, we're going to fire out a challenge. It's kind of interesting. We had 2-1 and Duns, and then a question I didn't know was that difficult. It took over a dozen guessers, or right at a dozen. Let's see how we do tonight. All right, it's an NFL question. Let's see where this one goes. There are two players in the history of the NFL that were the defensive player of the year 3 times. Name the two. Two players in the history of the NFL were the defensive player of the year 3 times. Name those two defensive players.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Again, repeat the question, if you would, Jimmy.
Name the two players that were the only ones in the history of the NFL to be the defensive player of the year 3 times. These are very well-known players.
Again, the numbers to call with your guess, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900, and we will have this schedule update. Steve Hamer normally joins us at 635. He's got to go a little bit earlier today as he's attending a wedding. So we will talk with Steve Hamer next. But we, of course, have plenty coming your way between now and the end of the program at 7 o'clock. We'll also remind you that tomorrow morning you will have Saturday Sports Talk with Eric Kane and Vince Ferrara from 8 until 10. You'll have the lead lap with you up until noon, and just before noon, that's when another Vol Network Classic comes your way. And tomorrow you'll be able to hear the 1998 overtime win as pandemonium reigned at Neyland Stadium. Tennessee defeated Florida to get off to a 2-0 start in that incredible 98 national championship year.
John, pandemonium reigned, and the goalpost wound up in T. Martin's parking lot.
Yeah, that's a great story that we heard from T.
I loved it.
Let's go to David. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, David.
No, this is Steve Hamer. Just kidding.
You sound 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. I'd like to be. This is a trick question. I know it is, but I'm going with my gut. Lawrence Taylor.
Well, there are two of them.
Oh, Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White.
You started strong, and your second guess is a really good guess. I don't know how many Reggie won, but according to the note I saw, he didn't win 3. He might have been a 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. But you're one for two.
What about the USFL? Well, he should have won every year he was in there. So, I mean, that's got to make up for something, man.
That's right. Go Showboats.
And watch golf. If it was the $30 certificate anyway.
The USNFL, he might have made it.
No doubt.
That's a good guess, though, Steve. Yeah.
We do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Let's go next to Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Hey, guys. All right, let's go Lawrence Taylor. And it's a well-known player.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just throwing out Dick Butkus.
No, you don't have to go back that far. This much more recent. But that's not a bad guess. He was a great player.
Doug, we sure do appreciate it. Let's go next to Bart. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Bart.
Hey there, guys. I say Lawrence Taylor and Ray Lewis.
Not Ray Lewis. I think Ray got it a couple of times also. I'm not sure, but I think a couple. But that is a really good guess. It's even more recent than Ray Lewis.
All right. Thank you.
All right,
thanks,
Bart. Sure to appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Debbie joins us next. Hello, Debbie.
How are you?
Fine. And yourself?
I'm well, thank you.
What is your guess?
Okay, so I'm going to say Lawrence Taylor and J.J. Watt.
Yes, That's
Look
it.
Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Debbie nails it. Good job, Debbie.
All right.
Lawrence Taylor and J.J. Watt. The only players in the history of the NFL to win the Defensive Player of the Year three times, that is according to ESPN. So nice job, Debbie. You nailed it. And you get a big attagirl.
That's right.
Oh, thank you.
The only thing that's more treasured than the golden attaboy is the ultra-rare golden attagirl, as Debbie is the third person to win the fourth attagirl that we've given away. So outstanding work. And so we celebrate you and your mad trivia skills. You get to shine in the spotlight. And hang on as we hope you enjoy your audio reward.
I was styling out there like a champion, yeah.
Sit back with your feet up and watch the champion in action.
I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
There is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal, I'm the man.
You're looking at the next WWF champion, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Again, we celebrate Debbie and her incredible trivia skills as she gets the attagirl with the sports picks at 6. And so after another week's worth of questions, we'll have more challenges for you next week with the sports fix. And Jimmy, today, glad to see that while you did have to dodge a raindrop or two, your golf tournament today went quite well, didn't it?
It did, John, and thank you for that. We had tremendous sponsors. We had great players at Brave coming out and playing in the weather. We had a full field. Aguani was tremendous. They've been a great host for the last 3 years. And they were crunching the numbers and told me that we raised over $40,000. And I think given the pandemic, given the uncertainty of whether we would even have the tournament at the end of April, I thought for us to rally with the tremendous committee to get to over $40,000 for the Sotoma Center, which benefits primarily the aging handicap, I just thought that was a great testimony to this community to rally around. So I was very, very pleased that we were able to help the Sotoma Center that way.
And what is the grand total that you've been able to raise through the years? This was the 21st, is that right?
This was the 21st. It'll be over $660,000. We were at $620,000 last year. So it'll be over $660,000 and counting. So hopefully,
yeah,
if we can continue to get this kind of response, then hopefully we will be able to benefit the Sotoma Center going forward. We had a silent auction that raised over $6,400, I think, and had a lot of great items, including some you donated, which we appreciated. But it was a big success given the circumstances, because I just didn't really know. My first goal when we decided to have the tournament back on around May the 1st, I thought, look, if we can get to 20,000 or 25,000, that would be remarkable. Well, getting to 40, I thought was really special.
Yeah, well, congratulations first on having it in the rearview mirror, but so glad it went so well and that in the end, Mother Nature did indeed cooperate.
I appreciate that. Thanks, John.
We'll get a break, and normally Steve Hamer joins us at 6:35. He's got to go a little bit early, so we'll get a break. When we return, it'll be Hamer time on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Stop. Hamer time. Can't touch this.
Sure, it's a little early, but we certainly are willing to work with the schedule when it has to change, just so we can catch up with our good friend, Vol for Life, Steve Hamer, as he joins us now on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for Hamer Time. Steve, how are you?
Hey, guys, I am doing fantastic for a beautiful, beautiful Friday afternoon, you know, on good old Rocky Top. Loving it.
Well, as we rearrange the schedule just a bit, it's a wedding, and considering all that we have gone through and continue to work through, it's got to be really cool to be attending a wedding, since that really hasn't been possible of late.
Absolutely. You know, my wife and I had our days confused. We thought it was going to be tomorrow, and we looked at the invitation last night and said, oh, it's 7 o'clock on Friday night. So, you know, we're really excited. They're dear friends of ours and wish them simply the best. We're headed to Maryville, Tennessee now to celebrate with them, and it's going to be a great, great event.
Fantastic. Well, we wish them the very best. Good luck and congratulations. And it really has been something to just see all that has been said, all that has taken place in terms of discussion, awareness, raising awareness. But, Steve, what was it like to see UT, so many at the University of Tennessee, respond the way they have? Philip Fulmer with his message promoting unity, and then to hear coaches Pruitt, Barnes, others share their thoughts on what is and can be a very charged conversation, but just to share their experiences as well as their goals moving forward.
Sure. I was very proud to be an alum of the University of Tennessee. I take great pride in that. And, you know, unfortunately, some tough measures had to be, you know, meted out in that particular situation that arose just the other day. You know, it's a new day, John and Jimmy. It's a day in which the, you know, elephant's not quite in the room anymore. And sometimes you have to not just tug at the Band-Aid, you got to kind of rip it off and expose some hurts and some deep-seated feelings that have existed for a very long time. So I was very proud of the measure in which UT took, because, you know, there's frankly no place for it. And I look back at UT in my years there as a student-athlete, you know, with very fond memories. You know, as I've said before, you know, we celebrated one another by, you know, going to volleyball matches and going to football games and track events. And we got along very, very well. And that doesn't say that, you know, some of those things didn't happen back in the 90s, because sure they did. But again, I like to see the good in people. So I chose to, you know, look that way. And it's just time for, it's time for change, you know, and I'm very proud of all of the head coaches and their stance. It's a tough stance, but nonetheless, I think it is a correct stance.
Steve, I want to ask you about this. We have seen peaceful protests. We have seen the other side with rioting and looting. And I wonder, from your perspective, what would be your recommended solution in an effort to try to rid our society of the social injustice?
Yeah, I think you got to have some tough conversations, Jimmy. I really do. And I can understand the fact that people are feeling as though they have not been heard. Because, you know, let's face it, we are just off of dealing with a situation in Georgia in which a young African-American kid was jogging in a neighborhood and was hunted down and shot and killed. And, you know, that just further elevates frustration and anger, and I can understand that, but I think at some point in time we got to have some tough discussions. And I've had a lot of conversation with a lot of different people this week, both white and black, on how we can come together. I was a part of a panel the other night at our church and had great conversation about just being transparent. You know, let's talk about how we feel so that we can educate ourselves to rise above this. You know, I think it starts with us. It starts with us telling our children that this is not acceptable. This is not something in which we're going to tolerate. You are to love one another. We're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're going to reach out to one another and show love. So, you know, if I had a seat at the table, I would just ask everyone to let cooler heads prevail and let's sit down and have some real conversations.
Also, in regard to that, Tobias Harris, a former Tennessee player, has made his voice heard on social media. Your thoughts on Tobias Harris?
I was proud of him. You know, he took a tough stance as well. You know, there have, you know, this week Jimmy's been really tough because we've seen a lot of the backlash from the murder of George Floyd earlier, and we see a lot of different people taking a lot of different stances, and he wants people to speak out, to stand up. You know, don't just talk about it. Be a part of the change. You know, and you've seen a lot of different backlash from a lot of different athletes because they've said some things that probably would have been okay 3-4 weeks ago, but now, given the temperature of the climate, it's just unacceptable. You know, I've got a great deal of respect for Drew Brees, for what he's done for the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana and countless kids, not only throughout their society, but across our country as well. But, you know, those statements, if he could have taken those statements back, he probably would have. So I was very proud of Tobias Harris for just taking a stance and making his voice heard.
It's also been so impressive that when you consider how long it took Tobias to find the home that he's found in Philadelphia, that he has made himself such a part of the community in the city of brotherly love. When you look at how generous he's been with his time, how many different agencies that he's made a point to reach out and support with a substantial amount of financial support, and then also look at upping that with some of the organizations that he is also with very recent donations and support. It's really something to see a young man make himself such a part of a community that Stevie really hasn't spent that much time in, but that doesn't make it any less important to him.
Absolutely. He's found a home, and he loves the city of Philadelphia, and he loves the city of Knoxville as well. You know, when he comes back here, he's very much a part of the scene. But, you know, for him to be so philanthropic in the fact that he's donating money and his time, you know, again, this has been said, you know, ad nauseum, but these are guys that can't just shut up and dribble. You know, they are human beings. They have particular interests. They care about their community. They love kids in their communities, and they're always giving back. So, you know, hopefully this is going to endear him even more to the city of brotherly love. And I'm very, very proud of him. Very proud to say that he is a BFL.
Now, the Sixers have not had the success on the floor that they wanted to with the season that, of course, was interrupted back in the middle of March. But we now see the plan in place. The owners approved it. Now the players have approved it. It's a 22-team plan where they're going to spend essentially 3 months in the city of Orlando and then just compete and play out the drive to the postseason and then the playoffs from there. What do you think of the plan, and are you surprised at all that 8 teams are now just their season's done as they put together their cast, 13 teams from the West, 9 from the East, that will play from this point forward when we get, I guess, to the end of July?
I love it. I love the plan. You know, I'm very much so looking forward to tip-off, and, you know, even though there's not going to be fans in the stands, just could be immediate family, I'm looking forward to it. And I think it was the right format as well. You know, you got a lot of teams out there that didn't have a vested interest in terms of, you know, the Atlanta Hawks. You know, they weren't going to necessarily make a difference in terms of making the playoffs. But at the same time, you're allowing teams that are on the fringe in the West that had a fighting chance of getting to that 8th spot and making some noise. You know, who wouldn't want to see an 8th seed in the West come down to that very last play-in game and then, you know, maybe take the number one seed in the West, the Los Angeles Lakers, to a 7th game? You know, that would be fantastic. So I love the setup. Just very excited to finally get to see some basketball just glad it's coming back soon.
All right, Steve, Caesar says the Lakers are favored to win the NBA title. It's Hamer time. What does Steve Hamer say? Who's the favorite?
Well, you know, I heard this earlier today, and it makes a lot of sense. You look at who could possibly give L.A. a lot of trouble from the East if they were to get past the Clippers. And I I'm not trying to be a homer or anything, but I think the Celtics would give them a lot of trouble because the Celtics have a lot of parts, a lot of moving parts. They got 10 guys that average double-figure minutes per game. They can play a lot of different positions. They shoot the ball exceedingly well. But more than anything else, they're well-coached and they're tough-nosed. And that would give the Lakers a lot of trouble because the Lakers want to get up and down the floor and play the just Showtime basketball of the 80s. But, you know, the Celtics are going to grind it out. They're going to make you earn every point. So, you know, don't forget about the Celtics of the East.
Hey, Steve, we really appreciate it. Always look forward to Fridays for Hamer Time. Hope you all have a great time at the wedding and our very best to your friends that are getting hitched tonight. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Such an honor to be on each and every week. I love you guys.
Love you as well. We sure do appreciate it. That's Steve Hamer joining us for Hamer Time on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break and be back with more as you listen to Sports Talk Today, brought to you by Oak Ridge Nissan, right here where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. This is 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. And before we bring you more comments from Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt, we go to the man himself here at Oak Ridge Nissan. He is the master of pandemonium, and that's Scott Gropp. Scott, how are you?
Well, I'm telling you, John, it's been crazy. Starting out the month of June, the way the month of May ended, number one, and just really just blessed and thankful, you know, just selling a lot of cars and people saving thousands of dollars, and we're just pulling all the stops each and every weekend just trying to make dreams come true.
Yeah, and it's not any kind of spin. Your statistics had you as the number one Nissan dealer in the state of Tennessee last year, and you've been competing for the top spot in the country this year.
Well, I'll tell you, we were number six in the month of April, and we're just plugging away. And, the accolades are nice, but we just try to do the best we can. So let's many as we can to all the folks here in East Tennessee that want a vehicle, that want to pay less for a new Nissan, that want more for their trade-in. And I think that's all they want. And then give them great service before, during, and after. In fact, another satisfied customer, Oakland Raider fan, I can see on their plate frame as they're pulling out here.
That's right.
We still love them.
We know they have great taste in cars. We'll leave it at that.
But, we're thankful for everybody. And, folks, if you can hear the sound of my voice, we're going to keep doing it all weekend long. And it's our sizzling summer sale. And if other dealers aren't giving them enough for their car, they need to make a 10-minute drive because I'm going to load the wagon, not worried about the mule going blind at all.
And how long would it take them to get here from the Bay Area, Oakland, or San Francisco?
I think it's like 10 minutes.
And they'll save?
They'll save thousands of dollars when you make that drive. So 10 minutes, make that drive. Tell them where, John.
Right here, Oak Ridge Nissan, where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Jimmy?
All right. How do you follow that? Jeremy Pruitt's going to follow it. Jeremy Pruitt was involved with the gathering that Tennessee had. Bob Kessling conducting the interviews. Here's part two of that conversation with Tennessee's football coach, Jeremy Pruitt.
Today, of course, Tennessee fans are mourning the loss of Coach Johnny Majors. You're a longtime SEC football fan, know a lot about Coach Majors. Your dad, a football coach. Can you give us your thoughts on Coach Majors? I know you had a chance to meet him several times here when you took over as the head coach. Talk about what kind of impact he's had on your life and maybe the SEC and Tennessee football.
Well, I tell you, the first time I met Coach Majors, I was setting up in my office, and I was trying to think of the date of when it was exactly. I'm thinking it was probably the first February, and it was right after recruiting season, and it was probably early evening, and Coach Majors comes and sees me, and he sits down, and we're sitting across from each other, and he's just talking about Tennessee, and you could just feel his passion, and about college football, and we sit there and talk for about an hour, and toward the end of the conversation, he asked me to lean forward. And so I kind of moved a little bit. He said, no. He goes, I want you to get on the edge of your seat. So I scooted up there to the edge of my seat, and he said, "Now I want you to lean forward." So I really leaned in toward Coach Majors, and he leaned in toward me, and you know, we wasn't but about 3 or 4 inches apart there, and I'm thinking, "What are we doing here? I hope nobody walks in this room." And we sat that way for about 10 seconds, and then he kind of leaned back. He said, "I just needed to look in your eyes." He goes, "We're going to be fine." So that was the first time I met Coach Majors, and he left an impression on me for sure.
You know, his mind was so sharp, he remembered games and players and coaches. It was rather remarkable when you did get one-on-one with him, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, and he could go back and talk about, he would be talking about games in the 70s. He would be talking about games that when he played, I think what was in the early 60s or
50s, mid-50s.
Late 50s, right there. He was talking about it, and it was just like he was in the moment describing the play. So, and the players on the other teams. Coach Majors was very sharp.
He was a treasure indeed, and we'll miss him. Coach, there's lots of anger in this country right now, lots of protests and unrest. How have you addressed this with your right now?
Well, you know, we addressed it last Friday. We had a Zoom call and, you know, just talked to the team. And, you know, one of the things that I like to talk about things, and I like to put it out there. And, you know, I don't know how you can't be angry right now at what's going on in our country. If you're not angry, then something's probably wrong with you. If you just watch the news every week, you know, there's been senseless murders across our country over the last 2 or 3 months. And, you know, it's not like this is something that just started happening. It's been going on for a long time. And, you know, I said it the other day, the young people are ticked off. The old people are mad. The black people are mad. The white people are mad. Everybody's mad. You know, I was talking to my dad about it, and, you know, I just told him, I said, I'm glad my grandfather's not alive to see this. But it's something that we've got to use our platform at Tennessee, and something our players have, passion about, and the coaches on our staff. And, you know, we've actually today, Coach T. Martin is going to head up a group within our program. And, so we can come up with ideas, and we can be progressive, and maybe we can set the standard to UT and on what change is supposed to look like.
Very well said. Coach, before I let you go, we got a couple of questions for you from some fans. Jeff Abbott says, what can the fans do to support you and the team during this trying time?
Well, probably social distancing. You know, I think everybody wants to play football this fall, and there's lots of really good news going on about being able to get the guys back and getting started. And, you know, I know these guys are hungry for football. And, you know, for me, just, you know, I've really been thinking about this a lot. You know, these young kids from the age 14 to 25, just how their world has changed over the last 2 months. And, you know, it's there's got to be a really, really big awareness when it comes to the mental health of our student athletes and the things that they've been going through. And and thankfully we've got a great staff with Dr. Klink and our doctors here at UT that can help guide these guys. And, you know, when they come back, that's one of the things that they're going to do. But I would say social distancing, and when we do get a chance to get in kneeling, don't sit down. Stand up the whole time.
Here's another one, Coach, from Jeff Van Hole. He wants to know your thoughts on the transfer portal and the option for today's student athletes. Is it working?
Well, here's my thought is, you know, if you look across all the sports in the NCAA, every sport except for football, baseball, basketball, and maybe hockey, I think it's maybe those four sports. There might be one of them, another one. But all the rest of them, you can one-time transfer. All right? I'm a big believer in one-time transferring. You know, if a young man don't get many opportunities to get it right, or a young woman, and if they choose a school and maybe the coaches change, maybe the circumstances change, maybe things change at their home. And for them to have the best experience that they can possibly get, to me, I think we should allow them to do that. And if you do that, you basically can do away with the transfer portal. That's my belief.
And this comes from a player like yourself who did transfer when you were in college.
I did. I transferred, and the reason I transferred was not because I was disgruntled where I was at. I just wanted an opportunity to do something else. And I had a dream and a goal that I wanted to try to accomplish, and luckily I was able to transfer and be immediately eligible. And I think back, what if I was, how would that have affected my mental health? How would that have affected me moving forward in life?
Coach, we thank you so much for your time tonight. We want you to travel safely, and we look forward to seeing you and your players back here on campus.
Bob, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee head football coach.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk, again brought to you by Oak Ridge Nissan. We're here right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Turn us up and embarrass the Alabama fan that sits in the next cubicle. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. A final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk.
And we talked about the town hall that Tennessee had with a number of its coaches and administrators. Bob Kessling overseeing that. Here's Bob Kessling visiting with Tennessee men's basketball coach Rick Barnes.
Glad to connect with Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes. Coach, how is this thing, this pandemic, been for you? I know you were one guy that loves to be in the gym all summer long. It's probably been hard on you, hasn't it, being away from your players?
Well, Bob, before we talk about that, I'd just like to quickly address what's going on in our country right now. And so it's really sad to see how so many people are hurting right now. And when you think about what we're going through as a nation right now, and I think about where it hits home personally, where I have two beautiful adopted grandchildren, black grandchildren, that I don't know where I would be in my life without them right now. And it scares me to think about where and what they're going to have to grow up with and deal with. And it goes back to when we talk to them about it, we just simply say what the Bible tells us to talk about, where where God said, you love your neighbor like yourself. And I just would love to see our nation really embrace change of heart, and that we all can love each other the way that God created us to love each other.
Well
but
said.
To answer your question.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I've just said that's well said. Now you want to get in the gym with your guys, though, don't you?
Yeah, that's been the hardest thing, Bob. It really has been. We really miss our players as much as we've tried to stay in contact with them some way, somehow. The hardest thing has been just not being with them every day. And you realize, again, I've been blessed, and we have been blessed everywhere we've ever been to have so many wonderful people around us, and you miss those relationships. And you think about it, over 40 some years, I've had pretty much a routine where when basketball season's over with, you get back in the gym and keep going. That's been broken. But we can't wait to get our guys back, and we're looking forward to that.
I know you and your staff have done a tremendous job of trying to stay connected with the players during this time. How exactly have you done that, and how have you made sure that they've stayed on some kind of training a process and also training routine during this time?
Well, obviously through FaceTime and just calls and texts, but we trust our guys, and they, we did what we do at the end of every year when we got into the middle of this pandemic and knowing that we weren't going to be back on campus. We did our exit meetings and had each player talk out and listen to them and what they thought the year went, what they felt like they have to do to get better. And we told them what we thought. And we really, you'd be surprised how close we are with them in terms of being on the same page with everything. But we trust the fact that they've taken the advice and the information we've given them, and they've done something with it. And like I said, now it's a matter of they're wanting to get back. And that's a good thing for all of us.
You mentioned your veterans. They know kind of the routine, and they know what you expect and your coaching staff expects. But you've got a very highly touted recruiting class coming in that hadn't been through that. And I think one of your keys to your success is that letting your returning players kind of let the young guys know what to expect. But you haven't had that this summer, so it's going to be a big change for them, isn't it?
It'll be different. It is, because you think about it, we would have already had them, or definitely be with them right now, you know, with the start. You know, we've had some of our young guys come in the past in the May Master, but you know what it goes back to is back. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and there was times that we didn't get to do anything with our guys during the summer at all. And you really couldn't do much with them in the fall other than conditioning. And so we're kind of back to that right now in terms of where we are. And so we'll go back to some of the things that we did way back in the day before we were able to spend time in the gym with them. And but we've always counted on our older guys to show our younger guys the way in terms of, you know, like the big brother approach. And I can tell you that our young guys, too, being in conversation with them and their parents, they're excited, and they want to get going, want to get moving. I think our country as in a whole wants to get moving, and as a whole wants to get moving. And so, but when they get here, we will expect our older guys to lead the way.
You know, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of excitement about this incoming recruiting class. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a thumbnail, what you expect from these guys as they come in and join the Tennessee program?
Well, I think as a group, I do think it's a good-looking group of guys, and you look at them on paper, people will be excited about them. But when you think of, you know, if you think of Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, and Corey Walker, all three of those guys are very skilled. Then at the end, we're able to come in with E.J. Anasicki, who brings us experience, you know, a guy that has – when you put up the numbers that he puts up at a consistent level, I don't care what level you're playing at, you're going to be able to get some things done. But I do think that with the three freshmen, they all bring a different skill set. But I certainly believe in their toughness. I think they have the ability to physically, their bodies are a little bit more along than maybe some guys in the past. But we're excited about them. We're excited about all four of them, and we think that all four of them are going to play a huge part in what we do.
You know, you talk about making big jumps during the summer. I think John Fulkerson last year made a big jump, and then he just kept getting better and better as the season went along. What can you see from Fulkerson coming up this year, and how much better can he get?
Well, I think based on what I know he's doing right now on his own, I think he's a great – I think the way he finished the year – if nothing else, in his own mind, I think he now sees that he does have a chance to have a future in basketball. I don't know where or why that might have gotten away from him, other than, you know, we know that he's dealt with some injuries through the years. But the way he stepped up and Eve Pond stepped up this year and had to go in the roles that even at the start of the year we didn't think they would be in some ways is a blessing in disguise, because Eve's always been just a tremendous worker. But I know that John Fulkerson has probably worked harder, not probably, has worked harder than any point in time on his own since he's been at the University of Tennessee, which is a great thing, a great sign for him, and obviously a great sign for us.
That is Rick Barnes, Tennessee head coach, with Bob Kessling. All right, we want to also hear, this is Bob Kessling on the late, great John Majors. Coach Majors passed away early Wednesday morning. So Bob Kessling was on with on the Eric Ainge Show telling the story about Coach Majors picking up Tennessee's uniforms. Here's Bob Kessling.
One morning, suddenly they, in January, it's cold, they pull up the couple of vans outside the football office, and they load up all the coaches in the vans, and they take them down to Neyland Stadium. And this is back when they had the old press box. And so they take all the coaches into the press box, and they're standing there. And all of a sudden, Majors leads out a bunch of the managers in all these different uniforms because they were going to change the uniform. And so they had, you know, orange pants and all orange and stripes and orange helmets. And I mean, every kind of – the athletic house had made every kind of combination that you could finally have. Well, Majors didn't like the fact that the coaches were in the press box. He wanted them to be out in the stands like the fans were. So he made them leave the press box and go out and be in the stands where it's at the top of the stadium in January. It's cold and they're all up there shivering. And so Majors has got a megaphone, and he's going like it's a Miss America contest, going down each one of them, yelling up there, what do you think about this one? What do you think about that one? Of course, they can't understand a word he's saying at the top of the stadium. Well, Majors gets upset, so he just throws the megaphone down and comes charging up the steps, and he's going to join the coaches up there. Well, Sparky says that Roper, Coach Roper, was standing next to him, and Roper says, Sparky said, look at those uniforms down there. Said, some look good, but that all orange look, I'm not so sure about that. And Sparky says, yeah, I don't know about that either. That's a lot of orange. And so Majors, meanwhile, comes, finally charges up there, gets in between Roper and Sparky Woods. And Majors goes, a lot of good-looking uniforms down there, aren't there, huh? I said, well, yeah, Coach, there sure are. I said, looks at Sparky and says, what do you think about that all orange? And Sparky said, well, Coach, I don't know so much about that all orange. He said, oh, what the hell do you know? Coach Roper, what do you think? He says, Coach, I think they look great. I do too. And then and so that was the lesson. You know, Majors would ask you, but he already had his mind set about most things he was going to do. And he's just such a living, well, now I'm unfortunately passed, but he was a living legend when he was around. And and Eric, you know, you've been around a lot of head coaches. The atmosphere in the room changes when a head coach walks in, and it really changes a lot when the really great head coaches walk into a room, because they just dictate and command that attention, and that's certainly what Johnny Majors did.
That's Bob Kessling on John Majors. So many incredible stories about the great John Majors, and he is going to be missed by so many people. Just a couple of notes. Cole Kubelik, former offensive lineman in the SEC at Auburn. He's with the SEC Network. He's ranked as top five offensive lines in the SEC. Alabama 1, Tennessee number 2. He's got Kentucky 3. Yeah, Kentucky 3, Georgia 4, Florida 5. John, as we know, he loves Trey Smith. He thinks Trey Smith's as good as any offensive lineman in the country.
Yes, and he said that before this draft, and you also have Gil Brandt, who has been singing his praises, saying that Trey would have been a first-rounder if he had made himself available in this year's NFL draft. So I don't think there's any question that that's – and you also look at what else Tennessee has on the offensive line, and that's why, Jimmy, this position, this unit has a chance to be its greatest strength for Tennessee in quite some time.
I think that, and I think if they can get Cade Mays eligible, and I think he will be, I think he'll even add to what could be a very, very impressive offensive line. All right, a couple of other notes, a really sad note. A construction worker dies after falling from the SoFi Stadium. That's in Inglewood, California. That's the stadium that the Rams and Chargers are going to play in. He fell on Friday. They have halted construction activity. And the first event for the stadium is expected to be August the 14th, the Rams against the Saints. I don't know when they're going to restart construction, but how about this one? The initial price tag was said to be $2.6 billion. The new price tag, $5 billion for that stadium, almost twice what they said it would cost to build it in the first place. The Corn Ferry Tour, that's a golf tour. It was supposed to be having an event here, but they had to cancel it at Host Neal's Country Club. June 11 to 14, that's when it resumes. It'll be at TP Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra Beach in Florida, without fans. It'll be the seventh event on the regular tour. And then the next week they'll be playing the Corn Ferry Tour at St. Augustine in Florida, June 17 to 20. The Memorial Tournament, that's Jack Nicklaus's tournament up in Dublin, Ohio. They are going to allow fans. That'll be the first pro golf tournament that's allowing fans, it's believed, of any of them. Now, that's July the 16th through the 19th, so something could certainly happen between now and then. But they are going to allow fans. There was Nicklaus's tournament and three others in the state of Ohio that petitioned the governor to allow them to have fans. So the three other tournament places are going to be reviewed. And also, the canceled John Deere tournament that is played, I want to say, in Illinois, it is also being moved to Dublin, Ohio. That's going to be July 9th through the 12th, and it'll be the Workday. That's a sponsor. It'll be the Workday tournament. So they're going to have back-to-back tournaments up at the Memorial site, which is in Dublin, Ohio. So that's a little bit of golf news out there. And as we mentioned earlier, this Sunday at 3 o'clock, Peyton Manning and All-America swimmer from Tennessee, Erica Brown, got pre-recorded messages for the class of 2020. They've got a dozen celebrities joining them, including former President Obama, Michelle Obama, Beyonce with a message, Taylor Swift, J-Lo, and others joining in this. So that should be a lot of fun for those graduates.
I'll say this about the Rams and Chargers' new stadium. At some point, isn't it obvious that Derek Dooley somehow got into the decorating and or finishing it off? Because he had to be in charge of fixtures for it to double in price tag, right?
Yeah. We told him where to put the trash cans. I know that. But, yeah. Wow. How about that? That's just stunning to me to see that that it could double like that. But, yeah, and just such a sad deal. I mean, I don't know all the details of the construction worker, how he fell. But, boy, that is really sad. So hate that for him, and we'll see whenever they do get that construction finished.
That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. Do want to remind you that tomorrow, another Vol Network Classic. And Jimmy Hyams, I think people will enjoy it. The 98 win for Tennessee in overtime over Florida. Sorry about the spoilers there.
What a great win for Tennessee. Great interview for Team Martin that you will hear before the contest. John, I'll be on furlough next week. We will miss folks, but we'll see him the week after.
Jimmy, enjoy next week as much as you can. Get a lot done, and we'll talk to you the week after. But that's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk from here at Oak Ridge Nissan.